continue reading this morning from the book of Colossians as we deal with the appetizers of religion. And this week we are talking about the appetizer of mysticism. This was, I have to say, a particularly hard scripture for me as I milled over it now for 2 weeks since Virginia spoke last Sunday, trying to get a grasp on how this relates to us today in our modern times, and how it is relevant to us in our own personal lives, also in our homes and the lives that we live. And lo and behold, God in His perfect timing, just early this past week, presented this to the whole world in the headlines of MSN's webpage on the internet. In this internet article, one of our better-known Hollywood stars was filming a movie recently. And they were filming this movie in India. And the headlines of this and the whole basis of this story was that while this person was filming this movie in India, they had converted to Hinduism and now had found a new hope, had found their inner self in this new religion. Now, one of the things I'm not attempting to do here this morning is discredit the people. But one of the things I do hope to do this morning, that I know Paul hoped to do when he wrote to the Colossians, was discredit false practices. When Paul wrote this to the Colossians, we have to remember he was teaching them about some of the false teachings that had come into the church, the Christian church. And again, I want to emphasize the Orthodox Christian Church of Christ, Christianity, in its fundamental and foundational sense, and how many teachings had filtered into the church telling the Christians you had to know certain things, you had to do certain things, and now, as Paul speaks to the heresy, that you had to have certain insight, mystical insight into certain things, because there were many in that day and in this day and age today who claimed to have certain mystical insight and claim greatness, that they have this gift, and say that you have to add this to your faith and your religion to make you a better person and to discover your inner self. Let's read what Paul has to say here this morning. There's a lot to be talked about here. He says, "Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize." Now, what he has been talking about is how in Jesus Christ, the fullness of the deity, the fullness of God, was pleased to dwell in Jesus. And in Jesus, the Christian receives the fullness of God through Christ, through the deity, through the work of Christ and the word of Christ. Now, there were some of those who had started to bring what's called mysticism into the church. They were delighting in false humility, saying, "Well, it's not me. This is all through insight that the spirit world or the other gods has given me." And they were worshiping angels, claiming that they had received visions of angels and words, special insight and word through angels. And they were trying to tell the Christians, or forcing the Christians, to get involved in this same thing. This word humility here, when Paul says, "Do not let anyone who delights in false humility," this was a false or a voluntary humility that someone would take on. The Greek word, I think, implies humiliation of the mind, claiming that something was given to them by special revelation, not of their own thinking. In other words, everything that I have seen came through special revelation. It wasn't me. I have this gift that's been given me. And they were claiming a false humiliation. And in this false humiliation, they were worshiping angels. Their worship had turned from worshiping God through the Holy Spirit because of what He did in Jesus Christ, to worshiping the angels who they claim were giving them special mystical insights. Now we have to stop a little bit to look at what angels, who angels are. First of all, angels were ministering spirits. They were messengers. In Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews talked about them. In Hebrews chapter 1, angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. Okay, if you do any study in angelology and study the angels, you know that the angels were of a higher created realm. And when Satan fell, he took a percentage of the angels with him. They are what we know as evil spirits. Okay? And then there are still those who continue to worship in heaven, who are the good ministering spirits. The word angelos in Hebrews means messenger. In the Old Testament, over 100 times, an angel of the Lord came to certain people. A messenger of the Lord. We know a messenger of the Lord came to Hagar. A messenger of the Lord came to Abraham, came to Moses on Mount Sinai. Some 90 to 100 times in the New Testament, we read where an angel of the Lord appeared to certain people, to Joseph, to Mary, to John on the island of Patmos, when he received the words that he wrote in the book of Revelation. And Paul says, don't let anyone who delights in these things disqualify you for the prize. As I wrestled with this a little bit this week, I went to the King James Version, and the King James Version says it like this: let no man beguile you of your reward. That word beguile is something I wasn't familiar with, but beguile means to mislead or to trick someone, to cheat someone out of something. So what Paul is saying here is, don't let anyone who delights in these things cheat you out of the prize that you've been promised in Jesus Christ. Through voluntary humility and the worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, the King James Version says. That word intruding means forcing. So, to put it simply, what Paul is saying to the Christians, the believers in Colossians, is don't let anyone who delights in all these other mystical things force you or disqualify you for the prize. Don't let them cheat you out of the prize that's already been promised you by telling you that you have to be involved in these things or do these things, because they're cheating you out of the truth. They're cheating you out of the prize that's already been promised in Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, such a person as this goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. Puffs him up, inflates him. What Paul is saying here is these people are not humble. In fact, they're prideful. They're puffed up with pride, and they're involved in idle or useless or empty ideas and beliefs. Don't let them discredit you. Don't let them cheat you out of or trick you into their ways, because they are only inflated with pride, and their ways and their teachings are useless and empty ideas and beliefs. We think of Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. Simon the sorcerer claimed to be someone great, and he had all these gifts, and he was a sorcerer. But yet, he wanted the gift of the Holy Spirit. He wanted it for the wrong reason, but he still did not have peace or all the answers in sorcery. Now, the question here we ask, as Paul says, this person, these people who think like this, have lost connection with the head, capital H-E-A-D, meaning Jesus Christ. They've lost connection. They're disconnected from Christ, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. What he is saying is these people who were teaching these false ideas and trying to get the Christians involved in them were actually disconnected from Christ and disconnected from the true church, the body of Christ. They were disconnected. They were not an extension of, they were cut off and disconnected. Now, when you cut something off from the head, it dies. It cannot think properly. It cannot function properly. And Paul was saying, these sort of beliefs disconnect you from Christ and disconnect you from the church. So the question is, why would anyone resort to this kind of thinking? This mysticism? And the answer is spiritual pride. Spiritual pride. But in fact, it displays how unspiritual they are. These kind of beliefs and practices are so appetizing to our prideful nature as humans, because we in our human state are self-centered, centered on self. And anything in this world that offers to provide something for that inner self is very appetizing to our human nature. We want to chase it right away. We want to go after it because we think it's going to meet a need inside us. Okay, what was Paul referring to here when he was talking about mysticism? And I want to make a little bit of a distinction here between mysticism and witchcraft. Witchcraft actually began sometime later in the Druids and up in the parts of England and Scotland and up in those areas. But the mysticism that Paul was talking about was the Far Eastern mysticism of the day that came from the Far East. Magic, transcendentalism. And these that he was referring to were transcendentalists. They were mystics. What's that mean? They sat around all the time thinking and letting their mind go, trying to connect with their inner self and the inner voices inside, because they thought and they taught that we are really gods and life is just a matter of reaching deeper inside, getting in touch with our divine self inside, and only when we do that do we become immortal. That's what the teaching of mysticism is. They were beliefs and practices that came from the Far East, practicing meditation to get in touch with the inner self, seances and chanting, getting in touch with the spiritual world, soothsaying, divination, and sorcery, calling up the spirits, using mediums to call up the dead, reincarnation. And in the story I read on the news, this person specifically stated that when they were reincarnated, because they were such a famous person now and had so much responsibility, they wanted to be a lesser entity, a lesser creation the next time around, so that they could relax and enjoy life a little bit when they were reincarnated. This involved the practice of astrology, horoscopes, reading horoscopes, watching the stars and claiming special insight because of what happened with the stars. These practices are still practiced in the Far East today, folks, and they have crept into, sadly, the church or Christian teaching and Christian practices today. And Paul warns us about them, and I want to warn you about them too. Now, we can believe in these things. We can believe in them because they are very real. The Bible speaks about them. But in fact, what the Bible says is they don't make you any more spiritual, and they disconnect one from Christ and from the church. In other words, they are not needed, and there's no sense in them, and they're foolish ideas and beliefs. The Bible speaks against being involved in these practices, and everyone in the Bible involved in these kind of practices were described as being possessed by evil spirits. These were the kinds of beliefs and practices that some were trying to force into Christianity, and Paul says these people are inflated with useless, empty ideas and beliefs. Just as there were those in the church who claimed to have had special knowledge, and that you had to have special knowledge, and those who claimed that you had to do certain things and be legalistic, be circumcised, There were those in the church that claimed, oh yes, it's okay to do these things. There's no harm in them, and we need to get involved in them because we'll get in touch with our inner self. We might get in touch with our inner self. You see, folks, if we are honest with ourselves, in our inner selves, we are sinful people. That's what the Bible teaches. We're not gods. We're not gods. We're not divine. We're sinful. And you see what happens when, and many times these people get involved, they dig deeper to get in touch with their inner selves. And they go past the point where there's no return. And they can't turn back to the right way. And they go deeper and deeper and deeper into the mysticism. You might say, well, this doesn't apply to our day, or this doesn't apply to me. It may not personally. You may be at that point in your Christian walk where you're mature enough to deal with these things. But I want to say something. It may apply to that person sitting beside you this morning. It may apply to someone in your home, someone in your workplace, someone in your school, someone in your church who are involved in these things. This is what we know as the New Age movement. And so many of the famous people that we read about in the headlines have become involved in these things. Does the name Shirley MacLaine mean anything to anybody? She's considered the mother of the New Age movement. And when I read these things in the headlines, I think, isn't anyone converting to Christianity? And why not? Why not? What this is called is syncretism. And syncretism is the effort to synchronize all the religions. In other words, I'm going to take a little bit from the mysticism religions. I'm going to take a little bit from this witchcraft thing because I don't think there's any harm in that. I'm going to take a little bit from the Jewish. I'm going to take a little bit from the others, and I'm going to bring it together, and this is my religion. That's syncretism, and it's wrong. That's what Paul's trying to say. Because when you're involved like this, when you've gone astray like this, you are seeking to satisfy self. And the purpose that people get involved in these things is they go on a search for personal transformation because they're not happy in life. What does Paul tell us in Romans chapter 12? I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renew your mind in Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to control you. He said later on, don't be drunk on wine, be drunk on the Holy Spirit. In other words, allowing the Holy Spirit to control your body, renewing your mind, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. He goes on to say, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. If we really reach deep inside with sober judgment, we're going to say, I'm sinful to the core. Not, oh, I'm finding peace. I'm finding that perfect karma. I'm finding that perfect balance in the yin and yang of life. You see, when we reach deeper and find that truth and sober judgment about ourselves, all of a sudden we'll realize that there's no way we're ever going to find that inner peace aside the cross of Calvary. Paul says, don't let anyone who delights in these things. You walk into the bookstore, there's book after book after book after book after book. On the radio, there's speaker after speaker after speaker trying to humiliate you, trying to force you and disqualify you for the prize that you've already been called heavenward for in Christ Jesus. One more example, and I'll close this morning. I was at a local bookstore this past Christmas to purchase some books for Christmas gifts. And as I walked by a certain section, of which there are more than one section on these things, there are Eastern religions, mysticism, witchcraft, things like that, I observed a man who walked up to the bookshelf, to the display, and was looking over all the books on witchcraft. He went and he got a clerk and came back to this display and was asking the clerk, he wanted a book for his daughter for Christmas to give her on spells and witchcraft and things like that. Imagine giving your son or daughter, or someone giving their son or daughter, a book on witchcraft or casting spells for Christmas. Is that not blasphemy to Almighty God? And I was even so amazed that the clerk knew all about the different books, what they contained, and was able to guide that man to purchase the right book for his daughter. My heart was broke. But I felt so terrible. Why didn't I say to the man, "Sir, there are better books over here in the Christianity section for your daughter"? I think I was so shocked I didn't know what to say. It's real. It's in our world. You may be mature enough to overcome it, but there are those in your life who are not. And I want to tell you, like Paul tells you, we don't need that stuff. It's not good. It separates us from the church. It separates us from Jesus Christ. What Paul is saying here this morning is, we need to stay connected to Christ. And don't let anyone tell you that you need to know those things and have those gifts and be involved in them, because you do not need them. Neither do your kids. Neither does any of their friends or any of your friends. All they need is to be connected to Jesus Christ. I wonder if that man that day knew what he was connecting his daughter to. And I wonder even more so if he knew what he was disconnecting her from.